This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Hey, everybody. So today, you've heard me talk before when I talk about authors and their books. And the ones that make an impression on me are when I hold a book and I feel something. So such is the case of our book today, How Do You Pray? By Celeste Iacoboni. Hi, Celeste. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. I'm doing well. Thank you.
So when I held this book, because I said when I held it, I felt better. It gave me hope. That's how I felt when I held your book and I started reading portions of it. In case you're wondering, the How Do You Pray? Now, right there, I don't want someone to go, oh, praying, oh, and I'm turning it off and I'm not listening. Open up your heart and your mind for this one, because the collection of forward thinkers that Celeste has put together here to talk about prayer and connection is amazing. Inspiring responses from religious leaders, spiritual guides, healers, activists, and other leaders of humanity. How did you get access to such a collection of people?
Well, one person led to another. I started asking people that I knew. Well, first I started asking my friends and people around me. My mother, I shared the vision with her right away, and she was so touched by it that she's 92 years old. She wrote up something and sent it to me in the mail immediately. But one person led to another, and I got a lot of great responses. People were very willing to share.
Okay. And I mean, this is just to give you a little background on Celeste. She is a minister of walking prayer. What does that mean?
Well, walking prayer is inspired by the indigenous people who were in a constant dialogue with creation. They saw all of life and nature as guidance from spirit. So it is a way to be in relationship with all that is and be in rapport with whatever comes my way and to walk with that, with awareness and to be available for other people.
And acceptance. So Celeste, take us through that moment of inspiration when the idea of this book was born.
Well, I woke up and I had an incredible vision of people in different traditions and different languages actually praying, many different languages and costumes and ways of being. And I heard them, I saw them, and I heard the words, "How do you pray?" And I realized that all of these forms were expressions of the same essence, that we truly are one people with one spirit, one life force. And we express this in many different ways. And I knew that this inquiry, this question, how do you pray, would touch my life in a big way and touch the lives of others too.
And when you say, just clarify this, when you say that you heard, was it an audible sound or was it something that you felt?
It was an audible sound. I actually heard those words. I don't know if I heard them inside of myself. I don't know if you would have heard them if you were in the room with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard those words loud and clear. How do you pray? And they had many dimensions. It stopped my mind. And I realized that was a very deep question. It wasn't going to be answered in any one way of prayer.
And that's something that I love about this book, is because it addresses several different ways in which people define prayer, in which they execute prayer, what it means to them. What's really interesting, I just want to read one passage here that I thought was really it from Dan Millman. He's a former, world championship athlete. He wrote Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And he says, the only prayers I know are thank you and thy will be done. The odd thing is that I do not assume or know that there is anyone or anyone to whom I am directing those prayers. A God, the universe, my own heart. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe that is the essence of faith. So his idea, because a lot of people associate the word prayer with God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it was so wonderful to receive these responses from people, because some of them, well, there are atheists in the book, people who don't believe in a God, yet their contributions and what they shared were so prayerful. That's what I would call them, prayerful, because they were so so loving and so in touch with what I call the spirit that unites us, this life force that unites us. And it was actually a common thread that it wasn't, for some people, of course, that they didn't know who they were praying to, but they knew there was an intelligent force, a life force, a creation energy. And this is what they received inspiration from, mm-hmm. and what they looked at for guidance and support.
Does someone have to believe in order to pray?
No. Joe T. In the book says, we don't pray for anything. We just pray. So you don't have to be praying to someone. You don't have to be praying for anything. You pray, and that expression is very personal, and there are no wrong or right way to do it.
Yeah, because some may think, oh, does this mean I have to sit and meditate? Do I have to read a Bible? Do I have to go sit under an oak tree and, chant? But
mm-hmm.
all of those are ways to do it, but there was one here that just impressed me too, because it was about poetry, and it says, I've never had a relationship to prayer until recently. I couldn't fathom what people got out of reciting in Hebrew at dusk, or bowing down to Allah 5 times a day, or repeating the Lord's Prayer or the Rosary. Then in a moment of extreme darkness, almost by accident, I discovered the power of speaking a poem that I love, and suddenly I understood. So talk about different forms or ways to pray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I when I sent this invitation to the artists, Alex and Allison Gray, I asked them, how do you pray? And she wrote back in bold letters, with a paintbrush. And I realized then that, oh, of course, well, we would have images. We would have photographs of these paintings in the book.
Mm-hmm. And what happens to our faith when we think that our prayers are not answered?
Well, sometimes we look for those answers in a certain way. And when they don't come in that way, we feel very discouraged, like they aren't being answered.
Mm-hmm.
But often I am finding through my own experience and what people are sharing in this book and in communication with me, that sometimes answers to prayers come in ways that we least expect them, that we aren't realizing that what seems like a disappointment right now may be a great blessing in our lives. So I think it's a lot about being open to what is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a common thread in the book as well, thy will be done. Just like Dan said, Dan Millman, mm-hmm. thy will be done. What does that mean? Well, it means that perhaps there is a greater design that we aren't aware of. And when it comes, we may not even see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it involves trust. And often we answer each other's prayers. We show up for each other in hard times or in just the right way.
Mm-hmm. And we come from such a, you know, instant microwave society where if we don't get it right here and right now, boy, nothing, you know, my prayers aren't being answered. Nothing's going to turn out. So that's why discovering your own way to pray. Let me go back for a second. Is praying asking for something?
No. Praying isn't, I mean, it can be, but praying seems to be a lot more than asking for something. I mean, that's kind of when people really resort to prayer, when they
yep.
need help. Oh my God, help me. You know, that might be the only prayer that they say. But I'm seeing a lot of prayer is around gratitude. Having a grateful heart or a grateful way of being. And it doesn't necessarily mean you say, you know, dear God, thank you. But when you, well, with me, it's sitting in stillness. When I sit in stillness and become aware of all of these blessings, like this life, like being here, and all of these blessings, I'm so full of gratitude. That's what I feel so much of. So to me, that is a prayer, that awareness, what I call a prayerness, being aware of something so strongly that it does become an awareness in a way that then we are with all of life.
Mm-hmm. What is interspirituality?
Well, there are so many traditions, religious traditions, and spiritual practices. And interspirituality is what so many of us are doing now, where we are exploring and participating in these practices and ceremonies without signing on or committing to any one of them, but partaking in many of them and being in communion with them. I could be sitting in the Native American Sweat Lodge and being in the with these great prayers and ceremonies. And I could be at a Hindu kirtan, chanting the names of God and singing my heart out. And it's okay. And it's wonderful to be part of all of them.
Now, does that go hand in hand with a prayer field? What is a prayer field?
Well, a prayer field is something that I am feeling so strongly about now as I have been sharing prayers with the people in the book and so many people that I'm talking to about prayer, that we all share prayers, maybe different languages, different spiritual practices, but it feels like our prayers are all merging. They all come together in an energetic flow of love for ourselves, for each other, and for the earth. And people have been praying since the beginning of time, and praying builds an energetic template, and that template translates to the physical. So I'm feeling that our prayers are strong and they do touch the earth.
And I mean, that's a lot of energy if we're all doing that. So when you were putting this all together, when you're compiling this book, did you have any sort of energetic or otherworldly type experiences when you were doing this?
Well, the vision itself, I feel, was a huge energetic experience to feel this and to feel these people coming together and realizing that we're only in this illusion of separateness to realize our oneness, that we are actually one and in the same. And that was such a huge realization that did continue throughout the book when I would read an email. That's how I got most of the contributions. I would read it, and I would be so touched and full of this gratitude. It was a great prayer for me to read it and feel this connection with the person who had written it, and also all of these other people who were sharing, and there were common threads and similarities, and there was certainly a common heartfelt connection between everyone. And I feel it now with everyone who's reading the book and us right now who are talking about it.
Mm-hmm. That must have been that energy that I felt when I picked it up. Because
yes, exactly. That,
and it was just so odd. When I started reading it, I started feeling hopeful. And that was the word that kept running through my head. And I was excited about the way the book was set up. When you read the book, they're very short for the most part. You have each author or contributor on how they answered, how do you pray? And then to find out a little bit more about them, you can flip to the back and there are little tiny bios on each person. And I decided to read the book where I was going to read what they wrote, then read more about them. And I would just do a couple back and forth. And then one night I felt compelled to just sort of read through, and I find myself stuck on one particular one, reading it over and over. So I guess it really just doesn't matter the way in which you read the book, as long as you read it, right?
Oh, that's so great. Well, what you said about being hopeful, I received an email from a woman in northern Israel, and she said that this book has created a sense of hope and hopefulness for her in her life that was really diminishing. It touched me so much to hear this. It was really inspiring. And she said, as do many people, that now they are opening the book, just opening it, and where it falls open, that's the piece that they're meant to read for that day.
Wow.
And people have also said it's like a new Bible for them.
It kind of has that feel, because some people too say, when you know, they say, well, I don't know how to pray. If you literally just flip this open or you read one, you don't have to know how. This is just you absorbing this energy that then can radiate out. So that's what I loved about it. It is, I hate to say it, but I want to say it, kind of like a modern day Bible. So there you go. Mm-hmm. I love the fact, too, that you included Dr. Emoto and the crystal, the water crystals.
Yeah.
I love that. Can you briefly tell our listeners about that?
Yes. Well, he and Dr. Emoto just passed away, you know, very recently. But he was passionate about water and how our belief systems and our own emotional states affected water. And he would see how these water crystals formed when he held a space of love. And then he also watched when people were angry and people were fighting and violent, how the water crystals changed, and they were very murky and very different than the beauty when there was a sense of saying, communicating, even thinking, harmony, beauty, balance, love. So that's like that prayer field. What we put out, think, feel, speak, pray for, it does translate to the physical.
Yeah, and there's a lovely photo of the water crystal under love and gratitude. It's on page 49 when you get the book. It is, How Do You Pray? Inspiring responses from religious leaders, spiritual guides, healers, activists, and other leaders of humanity.
And it's lovers of humanity.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. It does say lovers right there. I guess I got to get my glasses checked. That would be, I pray for some new glasses.
Yeah. No, it's really all inclusive because I think most of us do love humanity and we all have so much to share. We don't have to be religious leaders or spiritual guides. We have a direct line to our essence and our life force.
So now I've read a couple of my favorites. We are going to want to know, do you have a favorite in the book?
Well, I'm always asked that, and I must say that they're all my favorites because every day I open to the book and there's one that I love. And today I opened to Jason Apollo Voss, and he's on page 152.
Okay.
And he says, I have many prayers. Most important to me is my life, which I consider to be a moving prayer. I try and bring consciousness to all of my choices to help increase the flow of love on the planet. I also pray to various aspects of God, never hesitating to ask for help or to volunteer it. Lastly, I frequently pray that I be shown what I need in order to change.
I love that. And Celeste, this is a beautiful book, How Do You Pray? And I thank you for sharing all of this. We're coming down to the end here where we now have time for what we call the RL3, and you have very graciously agreed to go ahead and answer my goofy questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Okay. And everybody, you know that when we have a great book like this, you literally can go on Amazon, you can even Google a name, and you'll find out plenty of places that you can buy How Do You Pray? All right. So here is question number one. If you could experience any decade or historical event that you have not had the privilege of being at or through, what would it be?
I think it might be 1,000 years in the future.
Oh, she flipped that a little and went to the future. I love it. Good for you. Do you think we're living still on this planet then?
That's what I would like to see.
Heck yeah. All right, here's this one. This is a fill in the blank. I always make room for blank.
Prayer.
All right, now it has to be a food. I always make room for...
Make room for.
You do eat, Celeste. I know you do.
I do. I always make room for fruit.
Yay! I love that. Because watermelon fills you up. Apples are awesome. Do you have a favorite fruit?
Well, right now I am loving apples.
Oh, good.
All these beautiful apples, and they are so sweet, crunchy, and delicious.
All right, and this final third one is always where we find out our guest's fantasy name. So you need to give me the name of your very first pet and the name of the street you grew up on.
My first pet was Pepper.
Okay.
And the street was Olivant Place.
Pepper Olivant Place. It sounds like you should be on Downton Abbey or something like that with that name. I love that. Well, this, I want to tell everybody that even if this is a great way that if you're in a bad mood or you're kind of feeling down about life or not feeling inspired, if you go and get How Do You Pray and you just hold on to it for a little while, maybe you're not much of a reader. I want you to just hold the book, okay? Because energetically, the way this book is made up and the energy that Celeste has put into this and all the contributors, I guarantee you're going to start to feel something. You will start to feel hopeful. And then little by little, maybe you can just open up that book and start reading what the contributors have to say. And if you don't like what someone is saying, flip the page. There's somebody else who might have something that could inspire you and lead you forward. Celeste, I want to thank you so much for doing this because it's really important work, and for sharing your time with us and everybody here.
Thank you, Lisa, and thanks for your work, too.
Oh, you are welcome. Everybody, go check it out. How Do You Pray?